Welcome, friends. Nicole Olstead here with Sharon Gamble on the Sweet Seal of Moments podcast. We are so pleased you found us. Sharon and I pray that these episodes encourage you to learn alongside us how to be still and get to know the God who loves you fiercely. In this season, we are studying the stories of Jesus and his encounters with women. Today in episode 156 called Loving the Least, we are talking about Jabez's daughter and her amazing story. Sharon, tell us about this young lady and where we find her encounter with Jesus.
Well, we find her in three different scriptures. She is also represented in Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Aww.
Because the story we told last week about the woman with the issue of blood comes right in the middle every single time. So I think that's fascinating that all three gospel writers wanted to insert the middle story that we talked about last week, because they saw how important it was that Jesus had an urgent mission, mm-hmm. stopped it to help someone, and then help the someone with the urgent issue.
Mm.
And it's also fun, seeing we're talking about the stories of Jesus about women, that both of them involved women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, loving the least, last week we saw how he loved a woman that had been unclean forever. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a least person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, children were least too, right? They weren't considered all that important. And daughters less so mm-hmm. than sons. And here we have a little girl, 12 years old, Jairus's daughter, and a daddy who loves her very, very much.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that about her.
Yeah.
And we're going to read the story just in Mark this time instead of reading in all three like we did last week. And then we'll talk about it. And we're going to skip the middle part, which is what we talked about last week. So mm-hmm. if you can read the first part, Mark 5, 21 through 25, I'll pick it up at Mark 5, 35.
Perfect. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. When a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived, Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding.
Okay. So, and then the story of the woman with bleeding happens, and yes. then picking it up at verse 35. While he was still speaking to her, the woman with the issue of blood, mm-hmm. messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, "Your daughter's dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith." Mm-hmm. Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and asked, "Why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep." The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave, and he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed. I feel like even that is an understatement, isn't it? And totally amazed. Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened, and then he told them to give her something to eat. Wow, 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 wow. What a story this is.
Yeah.
Now, we're supposed to tell it from the woman's perspective, which would be the dead daughter. Who doesn't have too much of a perspective right now because
right.
she's dying and then dead. But what do you learn about the daughter just from watching the father's behavior?
Mm. You had mentioned in the beginning, she's very loved for him to go and seek out Jesus for healing for his daughter, because women were not super valued back then, and especially daughters, because they weren't able to take care of the family as they got older. So sometimes they probably felt like a burden to a family.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly he loved her if he came to find Jesus.
He sure
himself
did.
Too. He was an important leader of the synagogue, and he himself went to Jesus. He didn't send someone to fetch Jesus for him.
You know what? I hadn't thought about that, but that's right. He went himself.
He wanted to make sure. So I think he dearly loved this little girl.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, she obeyed. When he told her to get up, she got right up. And she didn't seem, we don't have so much of the story, but she didn't seem to panic.
No.
Or to freak out. She got up and walked around and seemed to kind of accept what Jesus had done. So.
Yeah. And evidently was hungry.
Yeah. Back to her. I laugh because I have two middle schoolers. They're 11 and 13 and they're always hungry. So he's like, and feed her. Like, oh, she must feel fine if she's ready to eat, because that's all my middle schoolers do is eat right now.
It's just so practical of him, isn't it?
He's like, yeah, get up and walk and feed this girl. She's hungry.
Yeah, that is so cool. That is so cool. You know, thinking about Jairus being the one that went, you're right. I wonder, too, if at this point in Jesus's public ministry, he was already being frowned upon by the religious leaders, in which case Jairus might have also been putting his reputation in a little bit of danger as well.
Siding with this radical that was going around causing trouble, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. But he did wait to the very last minute because she was pretty close to death, seeing as how she actually died while, you know, he was talking to Jesus.
That's a good point.
She was super, super ill. Mm. And I don't know how many 12-year-old kids died at that time, but I would think that if you got through infanthood, you usually were okay. So I think it was fairly unusual to lose a 12-year-old little girl.
I would think so, because they're pretty hardy at 12, usually.
Yeah. Well, they're almost ready to get married in that culture,
right? That's true. Wow.
By 14 or 15, a lot of them were marrying.
Right.
So, and of course, Jairus knew her really well. He'd had all those years with her.
Yeah.
So she must have been just a delight, because he was so begging, you know, for Jesus to heal her.
So,
well, let's move on to dear, wonderful Jesus. Because there's so much to learn in this whole thing, including the fact that he stopped in the middle of it to the point where the girl died while he was dealing with the other woman.
Yeah.
So what did you learn about our Lord, our Savior, from this story?
His compassion stands out again, how he was quick to go with him to comfort him and to go see what he could do with her daughter. Not see what he could do. He knew what he could do.
This is true.
But even just the way he had said, oh, she's only sleeping. I don't know. That kind of stuck out to me. It's almost like he was trying to put the dad at ease and kind of not stir up a lot of commotion. Because it sounds like they'd already brought the wailers in. They were already like fully mourning. She was dead and gone. It wasn't like, oh, she's hanging on by a hair. She was gone. And I wonder if he just kind of said it to calm everyone down a little bit, because it was really ramping up.
Yeah.
And I think to put the dad at ease, like he was here to help, because losing a child is one of the deepest pains you can go through.
And yes.
And for him to hear like, oh no, forget it. We don't need the teacher now. She's already dead. Like he must have been absolutely devastated.
Yeah.
And maybe like not able to function anymore and keep going. And so Jesus kind of stopped to calm him down.
Yeah. He probably felt guilty. Why didn't I go get Jesus sooner?
Right.
You know, all the things.
And all that crushing down on him. So I just kind of wonder. But I thought that was interesting that he said, oh, she's only sleeping. Like, why would he say that?
Yeah.
She's only sleeping.
Now, the TV show The Chosen's take on this.
Oh, yeah.
And they do consult with a Messianic Jew, a Catholic priest, and an evangelical professor. So, you know, it's not like they're just kicking it off the cuff.
Yeah.
But their take on this is that at this point in Jesus' ministry, he didn't want to be known as someone who raised people from the dead. Because once he raised Lazarus from the dead, that is when Palm Sunday occurred and the whole world was going after him. And that led to his crucifixion.
Wow.
He was too big to stop.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that part of it was he's trying to downplay it. And that's why no one was allowed in. They didn't get to see how dead she was.
Right.
It was just the three closest disciples who were going to be leaders in the church someday who got to see a resurrection in person.
Wow.
And the parents and little girl. And they were told not to tell anyone.
Because once word gets out that you raised the dead, you're going to be mobbed. Because who doesn't want that? That's the ultimate thing we as humans look for, right? The fountain of youth and to never die. And I think his true mission would have been overshadowed by, come heal my dead grandma and my child and my husband.
Exactly.
Wow.
He's already got everybody sick coming after him.
Right.
Why do they start bringing corpses?
Right. Oh, no. Yeah, he'd become such a circus attraction, really. And they would miss the heart of...
That is a good way to put it. He'd become a circus attraction. That's not why Jesus came.
Right.
He came to save us from sin and from ultimately not dying.
Right, right.
You know, but the side business was definitely healing.
Right.
Because why? Because he's so tender.
Yeah.
And he sees need, and he saw Jairus's desperation, and he wanted to heal. I loved that he wasn't in a panic to rush and save her. Right? Because he did stop in the middle and have a conversation with a woman who didn't even want to have a conversation with him,
right.
Who had to wait for her to confess, "You're the one that healed me from the issue of blood."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of this while a girl is dying and there's a panicked father.
He had no sense of panicked urgency. He just...
he just did the next thing.
Yeah.
I wish I was that interruptible.
Yes.
Because I am not.
No.
At all. And it just super, super impressed me. It really did. So the other thing that impressed me, and I want to read a couple of passages of scripture about this, is that Jesus loves children. And talk about loving the least.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm going to read two passages in Matthew about Jesus loving children.
Aww.
Just because I want to kind of underline it for us.
Yeah.
Okay, so Matthew 18, verse 1 says, "About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" I mean, we're all about ourselves, aren't we, Nicole?
We really are.
We really are. So, verse 2, "Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, 'I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" So he used a child as an example in that particular passage of scripture. And I loved it because he's like, actually, I'd like you to act more like children. Because when you're so self-assured and so sure you can do stuff yourself, you're actually further from the kingdom than a kid that knows they need help.
Wow.
I mean, really what he wants from us is, I need help.
Right.
Acknowledging the truth. Mm-hmm. We have no control over anything, sadly. But we don't. We just think we do, and we try so hard.
It's so true. And once we admit and surrender to that fact that we need help, that's where the relationship can start.
Yes.
And then, so you're watching, it's like father to a child, and you watch your toddler, actually your kindergartner, try to tie their shoes and get frustrated. You're waiting to interact with them and show them the cute little rhyme to tie their shoes, but you can't until they look to you and go, "I need help with my shoe." And then you interact and have a relationship.
That's exactly right. It's humility he's looking for. And kids, most of them, some are pretty stubborn little things, but most of them realize they need some help.
Yeah.
The younger they are, the more they realize it as they get older. Although, I don't know, terrible twos are determined to
That's
do everything themselves sometimes.
For sure.
Yeah, they really are. Let me find the other passage here. It's in Matthew 19, and it's Jesus blesses the children. Mm. And it starts at verse 13. "One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him." Okay, so here's an indication of how children were viewed.
Yeah.
Don't bother us, right? What was it back in the day? Children should be seen and not heard, right?
Yeah.
Very boring dinner time when kids had to be seen and not heard.
I know. I love our dinner conversations. I would be so sad if they didn't talk.
Isn't that so sad? I actually had a friend whose father wouldn't let her talk at the dinner.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He said, "It's for eating, not talking." But even he didn't talk. They all ate in silence.
That's so awkward.
I know. So then she came to our house and we talked over dinner. She was shocked.
Just sit there with her fork in the air going, "What is happening?"
This is a loud conversation?
Oh, that's cute.
Okay. But we digress. Which, of course, we've never done before. Okay. So the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." And he's placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. He touched them. He took the time with them. He loves the least. Isn't that the most beautiful?
It is.
And you know, he also uses children in some really spectacular ways. I have two stories of God using children. So I'll tell one.
Yeah.
And I think you have one story.
about how God protects children.
Okay. So, and then I'll tell my second story.
Okay, sounds
unless
good.
We run out of time because we're long-winded on our stories.
Okay. I love it.
Okay, so story number one, I think I've told once before in an older podcast, but it's been a while. So I'll tell it again because it just amazes me. We used to go north for vacation, and we stayed in a little housekeeping cabin. And the owners had a daughter named Brenda. And my sister became really good friends with Brenda. And we loved going every year. We always, Bethany always saw Brenda. And we just had fun up there.
Yeah.
So Bethany was told by God very clearly, you have to tell Brenda about Jesus.
Oh.
She knew it.
Yeah.
But Bethany didn't want to. She wanted me to. So she convinced me, because I'm the talker, that I needed to tell Brenda how to be saved.
Oh.
Well, that's awkward. I don't even know Brenda.
Right.
Right? And I'm a kid myself.
Right.
So I was sitting out on the dock by myself one day reading my Bible, because I'd learned in Pioneer Girls to have your morning watch. So yeah. I was doing my daily devotions, which I did faithfully for a while, then fell off the wagon, and then now I do them again. But anyways, back when I was on the wagon and doing my devotions as a kid, Brenda came up and sat beside me and said, what are you doing?
Oh, wow.
And so then God said to me, do it. Mm. And believe it or not, she received Jesus right there.
Oh, no.
Her heart was so open and so ready. And Bethany and I were so happy.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, yeah. There's a kicker to this story, though, Nicole, that's just so hard. And yet, I mean, God numbers our days, right?
Yeah.
Brenda had a hole in her heart that no one knew about.
Oh, my goodness.
And the following summer, she dived into a cold lake on a hot day and died.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
God really did speak to my sister, and God really did want Brenda to know about him. And her family, because, of course, they at least heard that she had accepted Jesus.
Yeah. Oh.
So God can use kids.
Yeah.
And he values us. And he valued her little life that he had allowed to have this happen to. Mm-hmm. But he wanted her in heaven, and we're going to see her there.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. So that's my story. Then tell me about how God protects children, because that sounds like a good one, too.
Let me tell you a tale of my second born, Ellie. I think her motto for life is leap without ever considering looking ever. we've called poison control on her 3 times. She has climbed up pantry things and almost fallen off of high things. She climbs trees with pointy rocks underneath them. She hit her head really hard when she was younger, and I thought she had a dent in her forehead for quite a long time from hitting a metal beam.
Ow.
And I just remember being beside myself praying, like, Lord, please, please, Lord, keep this child safe. Help me to get her to age 5. I don't know why 5 was a milestone. I think I must have read somewhere that you can reason with children at 5 or something. Yeah. I'm not sure why, but 5 was the goal. Lord, help me get her to 5. I would teach her these little phrases because she would just go for things. And when her hands reached out, I was like, Ellie, when your hands reach for something, stop. And I'd hold up one hand and ask with the other hand. So stop and ask. When you see your hand, stop and ask mom. And she, okay, mama. And she'd go running into the next disaster. But I was so afraid for this child. I prayed for all my children, but I think Ellie got a few extra prayers.
Yeah.
But so many times she should have died, and God protected this little girl.
Bless her.
When she would lick things that were poison because it looked fluffy, and you're like, what are you thinking, child?
Uh-huh.
So I'm so thankful. And then when she turned 5, the day afterwards, something clicked in her little brain, and she was such a nice little human. She was reasonable and calm and wanted to, like, be timely and organized. And I just kept looking at her mystified, waiting for this to kind of, like, you know, wear off.
Uh-huh.
And then I remember, I was like, oh, God, I prayed for this. I prayed for her to get to 5, and she's 5, and I no longer fear she's going to die every moment.
That
I was like,
so
thank you,
sweet.
Lord. And she's such a lovely human, and she's so good at mitigating risks now. And I think it's because she lived such a wild life her first 5 years and did all the crazy things then. But God had such a hand of protection over her.
Literally.
When I had 2 very close in age. So I had a little baby right after her, and then my older 4-year-old. So it was a crazy time. I could not keep eyes on her 24/7.
No. Once you get that third, your hands, they're not enough.
You're done.
you need a third hand.
You're outnumbered. Yeah. So it was just God's protection over Ellie over those years. Like,
praise
he does
the
care
Lord
for the littlest ones.
He does hear mama's prayers.
Oh, thank goodness.
Which which is so good. I love it.
So that's my story.
Oh, good. Well, one more, because Bethany and I just got recruited a lot by God. So, actually, this one isn't about Bethany and me. This is about our daughters. Excuse me. I have another one about Bethany and me, but I was going to go with the one with my daughters. So anyways, the one with my daughters.
Yes.
I had a friend who was an active atheist. She did not believe in God. Still have her. She's awesome. She's a brilliant woman, and we respect each other and enjoy each other very, very much, but she absolutely does not believe in God.
Mm.
So her children were reading The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and they loved it. And so she and I were talking in the living room, and my two girls were talking to her two girls in their bedroom, and I mean, I didn't know they were talking about Jesus, right? I thought they were playing dolls or something, but the girls were talking about how much... Her girls were talking about how much they loved Aslan.
Oh, wow.
And my girls said, you know he's Jesus, right? They said, what? They said, no, it's an allegory.
Right.
You know, he is Jesus, and Jesus really did die for your sins.
Oh.
They both received Jesus
as
Lord and Savior in my daughter's bedroom and then came dashing out to the living room.
Oh, no.
I'm not kidding. Mom. Name and name of girl who will not be named on a podcast, have accepted Jesus into their heart. And so I'm thrilled, but I'm scared out of my mind.
Yeah.
So I turned to my atheist friend and I said, so how do you feel about that? She said, I've always wanted them to make their own decisions.
Wow.
And that was that.
Wow.
I don't know if they followed through with the Lord or not, because we've kind of lost touch with them. But again, Jesus loves the little children. He loves the least. And he found a way to tell little girls that lived in a home where that wasn't being taught that he's real. He died for them and he loves them.
That's so beautiful.
This is the God we serve, Nicole. Mm. Isn't that the most precious thing ever?
I do love that.
Yeah.
I love that he can find them
where
they are in their little hearts.
Yeah.
Some people, I think... I've heard some testimonies lately. It's like, well, I was saved when I was 5, but it was so young. I don't think that you can be too young to receive Jesus.
No. How old were you when you
received? I was 6.
And I was 4.
Yeah.
And I remember.
I remember that moment. I will never forget that moment.
Yep. I never felt like I had to do it again.
Right.
I asked him in. He came in.
Yeah. And it's not like from 6 years old on, I was a devout Christian following his every way. But he saved me.
He was his at that point.
He adopted me. I was his, and I'll never.
Yeah. The sweetest thing about the Lord, and we learn this with the thief on the cross, is you don't have to know a lot about him to be saved by him.
That's a great point.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
Now, once you know him, you want to learn a lot about him, right?
Yeah.
But you don't have to learn a lot about him first in order for him to welcome you into his kingdom.
And thank goodness, because we couldn't. We couldn't know enough about Jesus.
No.
To fully understand how amazing he is.
And then it would be our works. You know, if I know enough, then I can be saved. No, you just have to look to him and you have to say, I need you. And he comes. And then, of course, you know, you say, I'm sorry for my sins. And you do say the things, but the heart of it is, I mean, I think the thief just said, remember me when you come into your kingdom, Lord. He acknowledged Christ as Lord, you know. So... I don't think it has to be formulaic.
No, but it starts with faith. Just like he told Jairus, he said, have faith. Just have faith.
Just have faith.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds easier said than done some days, but have faith.
Have faith. Yeah. So that's what we want. And and we don't want to discount children at all, ever. He loved the least. And I mean, in our culture, maybe children aren't the least. Sometimes I think they're too much the most, you know, and we kind of elevate them more than we should. But whoever the least are, you know, the ones in church that people kind of avoid because they do talk a long time or they're awkward, we need to love the least.
Yes.
The neighbor that's a little scary, sometimes we need to speak to that neighbor, you know. So, I think that's what I'm pulling out of this, just sort of to pray, which I will do in just a moment, is that I need to be aware that there isn't a soul on this planet that God doesn't want in his kingdom. And that's 1 or 2 Peter something, something. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why he's slow in keeping his promise about returning. Mm. Because as long as there's a soul here that's still open enough to receive him, he wants it to happen. Mm. That's how much our God loves all of us. Mm-hmm. So, all right, well, let's pray. Oh, Father, I just praise you and thank you so much for the way you love us. Thank you for the way you love the least among us. And sometimes, Father, we sure feel least. God, give us eyes to see those around us that need a special touch. Help us not to discount little ones. Help us not to discount very, very old ones. Help us to see all people through your loving eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening in to today's episode as we learned how Jesus loves the least. May we love those who are considered the least in our culture today. If this podcast was a blessing to you, it would mean the world to us if you shared it or wrote a review. We get so excited when we hear from our listeners. Please email us with any prayer requests you may have or to join our podcast partner newsletter. Email us at nicole@sweetzilla.org. Take care.